Okay, so welcome to this, our first episode of ASO Radio. I'm NZ17, of course. I'm the host of this show. And I was planning on having a couple of other hosts. My one friend, I was going to ask him, but he wasn't at school today. And, well, my other friend, T-Man777, well, he was supposed to be on the show tonight, but he had some important karate class he had to go to. Taekwondo, apparently, is more important than the premiere episode of ASO Radio. But, you know, I guess that's the way it is. We've got a little bit of news for you that I got off of Jam's Anime News. It's a really good site. I hope that one never goes away, or I'd have to find someone else to get my news from. And I'm going to review Sailor Moon, because I really like that show, and I couldn't get anything else in this short amount of time. We'll do some other stuff like Vampire Hunter D and Fatal Fury the Motion Picture when you can, as those shows are really great. Sailor Moon was actually the first anime to get me into... anyways, I'm getting off track here. So, yeah, we'll have some news, and then we'll wrap things up with a video game review. And I think you're really going to like this show. This one's probably not going to be too long, because, well, T-Man had to go to Taekwondo. But I think we can manage, and it'll be a pretty good show. We'll try to keep things nice and concise, and maybe we'll be able to go and see this through 50 episodes. Who knows? And that's my basic impersonation of what the first episode of ASO Radio was.
Everyone cheers.
Yeah, back then T-Man wasn't on the show, and I hadn't even asked Z-Guy to show up, and we hadn't even thought of BB3 being on there, and I still remember us doing episode 9 on 9999. Yeah, so it's been quite a time. But anyways, now our fun is starting to turn into a regular portion of the show. So let's get on with ASO Radio, or shall I say, ASO Radio Special Episode 75.
Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Welcome, my fellow otaku, to a very special edition of ASO Radio. This is DV3
and NZ17
bringing you episode 75 of ASO Radio. And this, of course, is a very special episode.
Why is this so special, NZ?
Well, I'm glad you asked, as though you actually didn't know DV3. This episode is special because every 25 episodes we do an NZ17 Productions, of course it wasn't originally called that, but whatever, we do a special episode of ASO Radio reflecting back on the episodes that have come before. And so we did a special one on episode 25, and you remember episode 50, I'm sure.
How could I forget 50?
And back in the day we were so young and fresh that... we did our special 9999 as our celebratory episode 9 episode. We were going to wait till 10, but, you know, the stars were all aligned to have all those 9s in one place, and so we did it then. So, yeah, we're going to have a little bit of reflectiveness on this show and talk about good times. But, you know, we can't just keep focused on the past. We're going to have a review of a movie that's not quite so far from the past, the Oh My Goddess movie, or Oh My Goddess, as a more accurate translation of it is. And, of course, we've got some anime news to cover, and the fan mail section.
The fan mail? You gonna like the fan mail?
Well, you know, notice I said fan mail section. You know, not explicitly the fan mail was what they're gonna like. But and of course our hotspot, reflections on ASO Radio's past years.
And you like all the new stuff we added. Oh wait, Z-Guy didn't bring it.
Oh, yes, well, we'll get to going and making Z-Guy our scapegoat later. Right now we have to go and get into our anime news. Hey man, I got good news for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Your parachute's actually just an anvil. It can't stop you from falling at all.
What? How's that good news?
I actually just saved 15% or more on my anime, and I'm not gonna die.
What?
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
Ah, yes, the anime news. The classic section on ASO Radio.
One of the longest lasting ones, too.
Not this week. Not this week.
The one of the most enduring ones. It's enduring from the very first episode.
Well, so is the reviews.
Well,
and the fan mail.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the video game review, we just kind of call it a hotspot now and don't do video game reviews.
So, the show, it's changed somehow. I know it has.
Well, it's not the same as when we started, I can guarantee that much.
Well, either is the anime news.
Either is the audio format that we encode the show in.
That's true.
Okay, well, now, usually I say, would you like to take the first one, DB3, but this time, instead of saying to DB3, would you like to take the first news item, it's more easy to say, which half of the news would you like to take, DB3?
Well, the second one is sort of a question and answer thing, so...
Well, then go ahead and take the first one.
All right.
DBZ Uncut on Cartoon Network.
That's right. Be there live to see Goku's giant, throbbing, uncasterized early episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Yes, starting next Tuesday, June 14th.
Uh-huh.
At 10:30 p.m. p.m., folks. Cartoon Network will be
Eastern Standard Time.
Thanks, Andy. Airing Dragon Ball Z Uncut.
It's summer, so it's Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah, that's true. And it has a TV rating of a PG.
TV PG?
Yeah.
Mm.
Dragon Ball Z has never been aired uncut on the Cartoon Network before, so it should be pretty cool.
Probably why they're doing it at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty cool... It's 10 in the evening.
Yeah, I guess 10 in the morning wouldn't be that kosher, would it?
No.
Lousy 12-hour system.
So some of the trailers I've seen for this looks pretty cool. Like, it sort of brought back some of my old memories.
Mm.
So I'm like, I think I'm going to catch a couple of them.
Kind of Dragon Ball Z the way you wish it would have been?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a reason they're putting it on at 10:30. And I suppose I could insert a snide comment, but that wouldn't be,
go for
that wouldn't be nice.
It'd be funny, though.
Oh, well.
And look, we don't have... Wait. There's not that much in the news, so...
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. What would be a good snide comment for that? That's the new... That's next week's fan mail topic, is what would be a good insult to insert at this point of the show about Dragon Ball Z coming on at 10:30.
All right. But, so remember that, folks.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll give my hand at this. It airs at 10:30 because that way all the boys that should be in bed for school the next day... Well, oh, wait, that doesn't work. It's in the summer. It's at 10:30 because 10 was already taken up by Teen Titans. No.
Well, I'm sure there's something quite snide you could say, but...
It's
on with the news.
It's at 10:30, okay?
Just give him a break, guys.
There's 7 Dragon Balls, huh?
He's tired. It's late.
It's on at that time because there's 7 Dragon Balls.
It's late. Yeah, that's all I need to say.
Wait a minute. Think about it. 10:30 p.m. is 22:30 military time, 24-hour, right?
Uh-huh.
So... Okay.
I'm listening, Andy.
If you add all those digits up, 2230 makes 7 for 7 Dragon Balls. See, it's a stretch, but it works.
Like I said, give him a break.
And the news was posted at 12:27 a.m.
Wow.
Well, on with the news.
This is the 75th episode. This is my creation. You cannot insult me on my creation. That's T-Man and T-Guy's job. You just have to pander and say that my opinion exactly matches yours. Yeah, I think I'm also going to give this a highly recommended NG.
That almost hurts. Oh, wait, it's just from you, man. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, well, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
Well, all right, the only other news item worthy of us putting on the show, because, you know, the news has to be worthy for us to put on the show. We won't put anything on the show.
And no one sent anything, so...
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure it doesn't help that they haven't heard that episode yet, and it also doesn't help I don't have that Club NZ up yet, but eventually, you know, it's going to happen. Okay, then. SyncPoint has recently given its reason for not having the I'm Gonna Be an Angel releases out, because it's only done two, if I remember right, two DVDs. Okay, so this question appeared on their website. It says, when is the rest of I'm Gonna Be an Angel DVD going to be released? To which their answer was, I'm going to read this in a funny voice.
All right.
So, the project is currently on hold while we release, i.e., make money on other series. Broccoli, our parent company, gives us the money to operate in the United States. So we need to think about what is beneficial to the entire company and not just a secluded section of fandom. That is which to release Broccoli titles in the U.S. I'm gonna be an angel, note the improper spelling, also hasn't been making a profit for us, so we need to raise funds with other projects first. So if you are one of the ones that's protesting the delayed release of I'm Going to Be an Angel, once again, note the appropriate misspelling, and are going to be boycotting all Broccoli goods in response to that, as many have stated they would, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot, you see, because that's a surefire way, if you'll pardon my pun, surefire way of not getting it released, you see, because if we can't make money, we can't release it. So SyncPoint is trying to get the rest of I'm Going to Be an Angel released by pushing out DigiCarrot original series and others first. And also, it should be noted, we are considering different formats of releasing I'm Going to Be an Angel, such as the last three volumes as a set to sell the product better and release it quicker and satisfy the fans. For, as the ladies say, I'm very good at satisfying fans. And that's more or less what SyncPoint's website says.
More or less.
Well, you know, might have been a little liberty taken with that, so, you know. You could take it at face value, but you don't have to. Don't have to. Let's see. Would you like to mention anything else on this section of the show?
No, not really.
You know, that 15% I saved on anime is going to come in handy.
Yeah. I'm just getting out of the hospital from that one.
I could tell by, you know, you look like Ray from Evangelion, so...
Oh!
That hurt. Including the slightness. Hair's a little different, though.
This Sunday at the Anime Arena, do we have such an exciting project for you as none other has been before? We've got Extreme Knitting Grandmother! Be there for all the edge of your seat action as you watch them do triple thrusts, triple wrinkles, and other crazy knitting things that you can only do with 2 or 15 needles! Be sure to go and thrill to all the exciting excitement as we watch these old ladies show why they're the baddest grandmas in the rocking chair. You paid for the entire seat, but all you need is the last 12 centimeters! So be sure to pre-order your tickets now at Ticket Blaster.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Well, DB3, of course this is,
the anime review section of the show.
Another classic.
Another classic. And what shall we be reviewing on the 75th episode of A Show Radio?
We will be reviewing Oh My Goddess, the movie.
Which I find is actually very appropriate that we should be reviewing Oh My Goddess, the movie on this show, as Oh My Goddess, the OAV, was actually one of NZ's original anime that really got him into the thing. And for many people, Oh My Goddess was one of their first introductions to anime, and truly the OAV was a classic example of how anime should be done.
Yes, that's true.
But I've been talking a lot on this show, and I must go and give mad props out to DB3 and let her provide the synopsis for this show.
Alright, basically what happens is...
No, basically. You can't just jump in. You have to give the background on Oh My Goddess.
Oh, the background, like, well, there's this poor college student who is taking all his upperclassmen's phone calls and stuff, and one time he gets one from this gorgeous girl from the goddess helpline.
Actually, he was ordering out for food.
Oh, yeah. Chinese, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And, well, he ended up with her being his girlfriend because he got one wish and he thought it was all fake, so he was trying to make fun of her and...
wish that she would be his, you know, with him forever.
And his wish is granted, so poor lucky sap ended up with a good-looking girlfriend that can cook, that likes hanging out with...
Of course, it's not all peachy, because, of course, she's a goddess, and being a goddess, it comes with all the associated baggage. What with demons showing up, her sisters eventually butting their noses in where they don't belong, and, of course, his wacky...
Sister,
yes. Well, I wasn't going to mention Megumi, but I was going to say his motor club friend.
Oh.
You know. He used to stay at the dorm with them and all, but he got kicked out because of the no girls allowed rule. And more or less, Oh My Goddess is about Keiichi, the hapless college student, and Belle Dandy, the goddess sent from heaven, and their budding relationship and how they try to go and develop it through all their adversity. And so that brings us basically up through the beginning of the manga, the beginning of the OAV, which is, of course, based off of the manga loosely. And this movie is supposed to take place 3 years after the conclusion of the OAV. And DB3, if you would.
All right. At the start of the movie, you see this fairy queen doing some magic stuff and freeing someone.
Morgan is her name.
Yeah, but you don't know that then.
Well, no, but if we're going to refer to her, you know, we should drop a name or two.
Morgan the Fairy Queen or Princess frees a guy from some sort of prison. And then you see...
Alcatraz.
Yes, that blasted
see,
prison on the moon.
This was Alcatraz, too. The first Alcatraz on an island. Virtually no one escaped, but they wanted to go and make the second iteration that much more escape-proof. And what's more escape-proof than the moon,
with the god's circle of protection stuff.
Not only that, he was locked in a safe with the force field around it that was timed even if an intruder got in.
So this was some pretty intense stuff that she broke through to get him out.
And a very good reason why he was locked away. But, once again, getting ahead of ourselves.
Yep. Well, it's the start of the new year at the school year. Keiichi and Belle Dandy show off the new vehicle for the motor club, and there's a new girl that joins the motor club along with all the people that are going to, but the older classmen that have now graduated into other programs come back and scare them all away, which is pretty funny. And Belle Dandy's...
At this point, they have a party of all of their new members.
Well, I don't want to say the whole thing, because that could take forever.
Well, okay. But let's catch up to this. So they have a party, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, appears Belle Bandy's mentor from all those years back. And she's so glad to see him because he suddenly disappeared, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes and
casts a spell on her.
And thus, the story begins. They try to find out what's wrong with her. She comes to, and she has amnesia. So they have to figure out why he put this spell on her and why he wanted her to forget about only Keiichi.
That's right. That's the only thing her amnesia covered. And it's funny, like, it was only her memories, like, her feelings. She still felt things towards him, like, she saw him with another girl and she was like, what the heck? So, that was sort of a nice development how that happened.
You were saying how much you liked the music.
Yeah, I did like the music a lot. Like there was a part at the end when the three sisters are working together to fight the bad guy, and they sing a song, and I don't know.
Not to be confused with the medieval folklore of the three sisters.
No. But it could be somehow strangely...
I thought it was funny when you said the three sisters, you know.
Yeah. But I like that song. It sort of brought everything together.
Mm.
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Guess whose time it is to make fun of who now?
Shut up.
Okay, so the art style is kind of interesting. For those that have seen the Oh My Goddess TV show, it's kind of like a cross between that and the original OAV. I think it's more closely tied to the way the original OAV looks than the TV series.
I think it took the best from both. Like, I really like this style.
But it definitely has its own artistic style to it, because it doesn't look like the manga drawings do, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You can pick and choose the way you want Oh My Goddess to look. Don't like any of these ones? Well, watch The Adventures of Mini Goddess, which there's actually a preview of that on this disc, but I digress. I guess we've more or less covered the essence of this. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. There's a couple of epic battles between, you know, gods and goddesses, and
Taichi's and Belle Dandy's love is really tested.
And you know, there's lots of misunderstandings and confusion due to her amnesia. And of course, there's a big plot that actually unfurls. One of the things I liked about the show is that, I mean, it's not the greatest show out there, but it is good. And one of the things I liked is it used symbology. For example, at one point, Keiichi is trying to go and jog Belle Dandy's memory by putting himself in danger. For those that recall, Belle Dandy saved him from running into a car one time with his bike. And he was hoping to elicit the same memories from her by doing this. But he was just trying too hard, and so she zipped him out of the car before hitting the railing alongside the road. And so then the sidecar and the motorcycle is broken, and they end up pushing it uphill. And then she says to him, "Do you think you can fix it?" And he says, "I know I can." And this has two symbols right there. One, it's an uphill battle that they're fighting together. And two, he's saying that he can fix it is both a metaphor, literally he means the bike, but also a metaphor for fixing their relationship and her forgotten memories. And it has touches like this throughout a couple of foreshadowing events. And so it uses literary devices to good effect, I think.
Yeah.
The Japanese dub sounded as though it used the original Japanese voice actresses from the OAV. If it's not them from the OAV, then I know at least that they do the same voice acting in the TV series.
Yeah.
So at least they got that going. This show, however, the English dub was done by a completely different vocal cast than did the OAV. And I don't even think the people that did the Adventures of Mini Goddess did the voices here.
Really?
And the thing I don't like about the voices for the English dub, the Japanese dub was pretty good, which is what we watched. The English dub, they were too exaggerated. Like, Belle Dandy's supposed to be, you know, the soft, gentle, kind woman that has, you know, a fierce side to her, like, you know, when her loved ones are threatened. But this just came off like, like unbaked dough, just like soft and no structure to it, you know, and scold her little sister, came off as especially, you know, annoying and whatnot, with the voice just, you know, that snotty kid voice. As actually one of the things that I like I said earlier, this is supposed to take place 3 years after they all first show up on Earth. And you can actually see the development of the characters.
Yeah.
Skuld has matured a lot in
her
young years.
That's something I noticed.
You know?
And I also liked Erd a lot, like in this. She's
more mellow.
Yeah, I like her a lot in this.
But still retains her personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one point, Bell Dandy is saying to Skuld, you know, when all of this is over, let's just go back to heaven. And at first, Skuld's really excited, because this is what she's wanted ever since she first came to Earth. She's been jealous that Keiichi went, took her sister away from her, and she's just been saying, come on, let's go up to heaven, let's forget Keiichi and whatnot. But she's matured enough to go and sense that it's just because of the pain that Bell Dandy is going through because of her hardships, and that she really would rather have her sister be happy than go and have her happiness of having her sister to herself.
Yeah.
And also because she would feel shallow if she left because of that. And that really shows the development, I think, of the characters in the show. Of course, this show is in all seriousness. It does have its funny moments as well, such as when they're all drunk in at the celebratory party. I thought that was a pretty funny scene.
The girls try and take Keiichi out.
Yeah. So, you know, there's funny stuff, little moments here and there. And I really like the beginning of the movie. Well, not the very beginning, but shortly after that. It kind of just, you know, is the slice of pie look at their lives, you know, how they go about things. DB3, what is your score for this movie?
My score for this movie is a highly recommended. Oh My God, this was actually the first anime that I owned. It was really good. Yeah, I definitely say if you watch the movie, the OAVs, you should catch the movie, it's great.
CD melted to the desk, apparently. okay, but anyways, something on the, it's just crazy. Okay, enough of the CD. So what makes you give this a rating of highly recommended? DB3.
I liked the animation a lot. Like, it had some of the old school feel. It also had some of the newer styles. I liked that. It really caught my attention. Like I said, I liked the music. I don't know. The storyline wasn't, I didn't feel, it could have been a little better.
Not
I think.
As much impact as
yeah,
had.
That's what's stopping it from getting a top recommendation. It could have been a little bit better, but it wasn't bad. I mean,
I liked how the main antagonist was really cunning and sneaky with his plans. You know,
he had planned it out.
Very well thought out. Of course, Solitude will do that for you. And I'm gonna give this a recommended. I've read the Oh My Goddess manga, quite a bit of it at this point, and I've seen the OAVs and the TV series and now the movie. So I'd say authoritative on Oh My Goddess. And and out of all those versions, the original manga is actually the best, which is, I find, surprising, because you know that old adage, you know, oh, the book's better than the movie. But I find with manga is that the anime is generally better than the manga. And that's because with a manga, you just have one person doing the art and doing the writing. And that person might not be very mature in either of those areas, and the input from all of the people that's involved in the production of an anime goes, and I think rounded out better, you know, makes it more fully developed. But in the case of Oh My Goddess, I find the original manga to be the most endearing, because all the characters are not only believable, but you can actually go and just look at them in any given situation and know what's going on through their mind. And that's when you know you have really good character development and portrayal in a work. For example, DB3 and I, a few episodes back, watched the Oh My Goddess TV show. And the problem with the TV show is that it's kind of the epitome of not getting it, if you will. It's got all the characters, it's got their quirks, it's got the locales, it's got the storyline. I mean, granted, the TV show isn't lifted right from the manga pages. It's another take on things. But here's my point. is that whoever did the dialogue and writing and scenarios didn't really understand the characters and how to go and portray them. You know, Bell Bandy comes off as a ditz. Scolds comes off as a sex-crazed older sister. Erd came out that way. Scold comes off as a bratty little kid that won't let go of her sister for anything. You know, Keiichi's upperclassmen hardly ever show up in the OAV, I mean the TV show, and when they do, they're just there as comedic relief with, you know, nothing going on behind the eyes, you know, as they say, dead behind the eyes. Very bad character portrayal.
Yeah.
But in the OAV, I felt they did a very good character portrayal, even though a lot of the characters were only in there for a brief time, given the limited budget and time constraints of the OAV.
None of episodes.
Yeah. And then the movie, I think, was rather subdued compared to the other versions out there. The characters weren't as outgoing and boisterous, and, you know, they weren't... It kind of felt like everyone was a little tired, you know. That could be because of all the trials they're going through, but it just kind of felt like, just wasn't fully awake, you know. Like, when somebody's half asleep, they're not quite themselves. It kind of felt like that for me. And so I have to say, ranking all of the Oh My Goddess products out there, number one at the top spot, the best one, would be the manga, followed by the OAV, followed by the movie, followed by the TV show. And I really liked the movie just because it had a nice art style to it. It wasn't overly simplistic like the TV show is. But it also wasn't overly, well, not overly, but it wasn't as, well, I don't want to say ornate, but the original one had more detail, had a better feel to it, if you will, the intangible quality that makes something special. And with this movie, it had its own unique feel to it, I felt.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like a movie that takes place during the summer. I mean, I know the movie's supposed to take place during the spring, but to me it just felt like all the characters were really hot and sluggish. But I did enjoy the movie, and I'm going to give it a recommended. It has some good merits, but like DB3 said, it didn't really have a ton of punch to its story, and I don't know, it was a little slow-paced for my taste. And I think, though, that any Oh My Goddess fan is well-served by watching this, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So, that's our review of Oh My Goddess, the movie.
For episode 75 of Ace Radio.
Hey, my friends, which are gentlemen, we have the best deal for you this year. This deal is so special, I'm not supposed to share it, because it might blow up in my face. But for you, my friends, I will tell you all. If you come down to James Bond Tuckers, we will hook you up for your prom date. That's right, my friends. We have specials going on that will blow your minds. Not just your minds, but all those guys who come after your girls with our special bomb cufflinks. We also have a special helicopter suit, which will help you take your dame away to a special place where she likes. We also are throwing in our magnitude watch, only for an extra $50. This magnitude watch will do almost anything you command it to do. You tell it to go get a waiter, it will bring you a waiter. If you tell it to go to the moon and bring you back an alien, it will find an alien. My friends, this is the place and time to come down to James Bond, Texas. So you better get here quick while the things are still fresh.
Not guaranteed to bring back the Pirate Princess of Nylar.
Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail. Fan mail!
Alright, now, I know everybody's expecting me to do this, and who am I to disappoint my fans on the 75th celebratory episode of ASO Radio? So, for all of you longtime listeners out here...
How many are there?
Let's not go there right now. Okay. This is my special moment. For all of you longtime listeners and future listeners, all I have to say at this section of the show is... It never failed. It makes me want to go and yell whenever I have fan mail. That's right. It's fan mail section.
Oh, the good old days.
And this fan mail section, we've got a special fan mail from T-Man.
Yes.
Now, this special fan mail comes from the same special fan mail inbox that we received all those fictitious letters from Z-Guy. So, so would you go ahead and read this special fan mail from T-Man for us, DB3?
Dear ASO Radio staff.
That's us.
It's your friendly neighborhood T-Man.
Oh.
777. Yeah, I miss him a lot.
Yeah.
But it continues and says, I am doing great. My job is paying me wonderfully. My girlfriend, well, I don't want to tell you too much about her. You'll probably want to come out here and steal her from me. And I would listen to some of your newly put out episodes, and, well, I only have a couple words.
You know, T-Man sure sounds different these days.
They suck.
What?
You guys are pathetic. The show can't go on. You know how I always said the fans make the show?
But
I made the show. I am the show. That's the only reason anyone listens.
Man, I don't think I want to eat anymore. I'm sick of it already.
I am Homestar Runner to Strong Bad, as T-Man is to that horribly, horribly wonderful Strong Bad. I mixed that up, didn't I?
I think so, yeah.
I meant to say, I am to T-Man as Homestar Runner is to Strong Bad. I'm nothing. It's with teamwork, man. Without both halves, you don't have the timing. I'm a sham, a cat. I hope there's a really nice PS on this letter.
I haven't got that far yet. Okay.
Let's see what he wrote next.
Well, fans, I have some good news. I'm starting my own show.
He's starting his own show. Okay. He's going to be competing against us?
Well, we don't know what sort of show it is, so let's find out.
I'm starting my own show. Okay, I'm not. But I had your own thinking, huh? I just wanted to...
Sure, that is nice to you, man.
I just wanted to send my love and say, you guys rock! And I've already seen Howl's Moving Castle.
What sort of crap is that? Of course, by the time this episode actually makes it out, everyone will have seen Howl's Moving Castle. But, you know, that's just another one of our quirks.
And... Oh, I guess it does have a PS.
Oh, okay, cool.
It finishes up. Well, that's about all I wanted to say for you guys. So this is your favorite host, T-Man 77.
Oh, he's cocky.
PS. DB3, you need to learn more from NZ17. He is the man.
Wait a minute. Was that duh as in D-A or duh as in D-U-H?
Duh as D-A.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel better. I was worried he put the other one. You know, funny, didn't mention Z-Guy in that letter.
That's probably because he forgot all about Z-Guy.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know.
There's a PPS on the back of that.
I don't know how to flip it over in your computer. You're going to have to do that.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have your computer, man.
Clicky, clicky.
You can read it.
Oh, I don't know. I like your special T-Man voice.
Postscript. PPS. Z-Guy, where the heck are you? You need to get back on the show. They need you to make fun of.
And that's it. I'll flip it back around.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Those triple clicks come in handy. and so, yeah.
Doesn't everyone love Linux?
I really love when fans send mail into the show, and it's even nicer when co-hosts who can't make it do it. You know that right, DB3?
Wait a second. Are you hinting at something?
No. You know I'm blatant. Okay, well, I got something else, though, that I want to cover during the fan mail section. And it's called Warriors of Legend. Now, we talked about this on the previous episode, at least according to DB3, and we hope that he's not aligned with the devil and trying to take us down from the inside. This book, it's actually a book, it's called Warriors of Legend. Would you read the title, DB3?
Warriors of Legend, Reflections of Japan in Sailor Moon.
Thank you. I was tripping over my own tongue, you know.
It's so big, you know.
Yeah, it's so fat and bloated. Okay, so you might be thinking to yourself, what's this book about?
What's this book about, Envy?
Well, I'm glad I asked you. Tell us, DB3.
I don't know, that's why I was asking you.
Oh, you cat. Well, obviously, this book is supposed to go and tell about Japanese culture through the portrayal of it in Sailor Moon. Because while a large portion of it is girls in miniskirts going and fighting monsters of the week, all in the sake of going in...
saving Japan.
Well,
the world.
Protecting love and the innocent.
That's just their cover story.
A large portion of the show is spent with them as, you know, regular girls going up and the stuff they go through. So I thought I would read this quick excerpt from Warriors of Legend, which can be found, amazingly enough, at warriorsoflegend.com. And you can find, like, links on there to order the book and, I don't know, some funny banners. Like, I'm going to pull those up just because they're funny. Let's see here. Library campaign, internet campaign. You know, I was supposed to read that library campaign thing, but I didn't. And, hey, dang it, where's those? Oh, wait, okay, there. The support page. Boy, man, talk about... And I thought I had nested links on my site. Oops. Okay, that's right. I turned off the ads. And, boy, this must be really entertaining to listen to. Okay, so... anyways, I'm going to read an excerpt from the book, and these are some, like, funny ads that they have. Some are done up, like, the, you know, priceless ads of the TV credit card commercials. And then they've got some that are, like, banner ones that are kind of funny. And anyways, if I keep letting DB3 read those, though, we're never going to go and get this excerpt read. So... we'll come back to them later. I know they're funny. Okay, we'll read one of these on the air, because it's funny. Let's see. Alright.
Read that one. It's a funny one.
Oh, you thought that one? Okay.
I didn't read it all, so I couldn't say.
Alright, we'll do this one. This one's about Sailor Venus. It says, Skimpy Bikini and Miyu DVDs for inspiration, $90. HD video camera, $400. Making your very own idol debut video, priceless. And then there's learn more about Minako's idol obsession in Warriors of Legend, www.warriorsoflegend.com. Not available in all countries. Buy more ramen. Okay, now it's time for the library campaign. We'll read that out loud too. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm going and I'm helping to promote this whole dealio. Because basically two reasons. One, well, okay, there's a number of reasons. I'm not going to number them because then I'm always off on the numbers.
Yeah.
One, and the like of the Sailor Moon. Don't you laugh. Number
Notice
two.
Notice how he did that in his Mario voice.
He's Italian voice. Nobody laughed then. Oh, yeah, because all Italians talk like Mario. Number two.
They all don't want.
I like supporting the underdog. And number three, it's a good way of learning about Japanese culture. And so basically they're like, oh, we appreciate it so much if you plug it on your show, or if you go and link to our site using one of our banner ads. And who am I to deny them a plug on the show? Especially when we have only two news items for that week. So, what we're going to do is, we're not going to read the whole excerpt because it's rather long.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is DB3 and I are going to alternate on the first couple of paragraphs. And I want DB3 to take the first one, because my mouth is sore.
Alright, sample from Warriors of Legend. The book Warriors of Legend, Reflections of Japan and Sailor Moon, is split into two parts. The first, called Exploring the Sailor Moon Universe, looks at the way...
The Mooniverse.
looks at the way the city of Tokyo has shaped the development of the series. We take you to dozens of places that are seen in Sailor Moon and really do exist in Tokyo, or at least they did at the time the anime manga ran. In the process, we talk about the history, culture, and legends of these locales. It's a fun way to learn a lot about Japan's amazing capital, as well as the crafting of the Sailor Moon series itself.
In the second part, we tackle five subjects: family, culture, lifestyle, education, religion, and Negaverse monsters. I mean, foreign influences. But it's really the same thing. Each of these chapters takes you deeper into the characters of Sailor Moon, examining how their fictional lifestyles reflect real life in contemporary Japan.
We have for you two samples from the book. The first from the exploration section, the second from the chapter on education.
And we won't read the part about photographs. But we are going to read the part about exploration. And I'll leave it to you to go to the website to read the part about education. Alright, so, in a memorable episode of the third season of the Sailor Moon anime, genius schoolgirl Amy Miyazuno, or Sailor Mercury, regains her confidence to do well in school while sitting next to this statue of a girl in red shoes named Kimi-chan. The statue exists in Azuba Juban and is modeled after a real girl named Kimi-chan, who was featured in a well-known children's song called The Girl in Red Shoes. The lyric writer was a Japanese poet named, Yujo Noguchi, and musical composer was Nagayo Motori. Motori, who lived from 85 to 1495, was a descendant...
1495?
Yes, he died in 1495.
1945.
Well, excuse me. Blame it on the dyslexia. Was a descendant of the Norinaga Motori, a famous scholar of Japanese literature who studied music and composed many children's songs. Norinaga is even supposed to have composed the first Japanese children's song.
In the song The Girl in Red Shoes, a young girl accompanies a foreigner by the ship from Yokohama. The real Kimi-chan was supposed to have done the same, or so her mother thought. Kimi
Iwasaki
was born in Shimizu in the city of Shizuoka on July 15, 1902. She was adopted at the age of 3 by American missionaries Charles
Hewitt. Do you need help with those names?
No.
Ah.
And his wife, Kimi's mother, Kale, had given her up for adoption to work in
Hokkaido,
believing she had done the best for her daughter.
But Kimi-chan had a weak constitution. She came down with tuberculosis, which was incurable at the time, just before she was supposed to leave for America. Her adopted parents left her in a church orphanage in Azuba Juban, where Kimi passed away at the age of 9 on September 15, 1911. The orphanage she died at was Torizaki Church, which stood at Azuba Nagasaka between 1877 and 1923.
Ujo Noguchi worked in the same company as Kimi's mother, Kale. Noguchi heard Kimi's story from her mother and wrote the lyrics to
Akai Kasuto,
or Red Shoes, in later years. It is said that Keo would often say, "Ujo made that song for you, Kimi," and sing, "A little girl wearing shoes." Her voice was full of sadness and regret.
When a Hokkaido newspaper wrote a chance story on the girl's tragic life, in November 1973, her life became widely known around the country. Several statues dedicated to Kimi were erected. One in Azabu Juban dates from 1989.
In the episode where the statue is featured, Amy is contemplating why she works so hard at her schoolwork and why she wants to become a doctor like her mother. As she sits next to the statue, Amy regains her confidence to continue studying for her future career. It is likely the animation staff chose this location for Amy to sit at because they wanted to emphasize Amy's feelings for her mother, whom Amy seeks to emulate. Indeed, the watercolor backgrounds that make up the Sailor Moon series seem to have subtle but deep meanings.
So I think that's a pretty good excerpt.
Yeah.
I haven't read that excerpt previously, and so I have to say I'm rather impressed.
Me too.
Nice background story and whatnot for what could be taken as by foreign viewers just something that might not have significance.
So everyone, go check out the Warriors of Legend website.
Yeah, I think the book. What did it say on that one thing? It's like $12.95, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not too expensive. Well, NZ might even have to check it out and do a formal review in the Hotspot.
Ooh.
Hey, speaking of the Hotspot, DB, I really need to get a new mouse. Speaking of the Hotspot, DB3, how about we shuffle on over there?
All right.
Shuffle. Has this ever happened to you?
I don't understand the Akira show. What is Akira?
Well, we finally have the solution in our handy 90-page carrying guide. That's right, our travel guide, NZ17's Notes to Akira. This can explain in detail what each scene in this popular Japanese movie means. After all, the original manga was 2,000 pages, and you simply can't compress that much information into this small volume. So we'll explain the past, the future, and how it's all connected together by this movie featuring a
exploding organs and horrible mutations in an apocalyptic future where everyone's depressed and on drugs. So be sure to go and order your volume of the Encyclopedia Carica today.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
Because, of course, you know, we cannot have a classic episode of ASO Radio without making fun of the classic Akira. Such a bastard. Okay, so now that we've spent enough time going and plugging books, and I assure you we weren't paid to plug that book, because if we were paid, I'd put episode that on time. But seriously, though, I did enjoy that, reading that excerpt. That was kind of fun. Probably going to read the rest later, right after I read this story from the Sun Sentinel about manga. Anyways, because, you know, it's always interesting to get the viewpoint of a casual, you know, person about our hobby. Which, you know, it's always nice when they say something nice instead of something mean. So, this episode, our hotspot is Reflections Upon ASO Radio's Past Years. And if I haven't mentioned that enough yet, oh, trust me, there's yet more to come. Do you recall when ASO Radio first appeared, DB3, and why?
I don't remember when.
Mm-hmm.
We were in school, probably sophomore year.
Ooh, that's very close, yes.
I remember it was right after we had been turned down for making our anime club, being that teacher. And NG as a way to get
name?
Back at
started
the world.
With an M. Was it Molten?
It was.
It is Lousy Molten!
And as a way for NC to get back at the world, he was going to bring about a revolution in anime talk radio.
Ah, yes. You see, I hope everybody actually liked my remix, if you will, of the original ASO Radio episode at the beginning of the show. I had fun doing that. The first episode, August 13th, 1999, done in retaliation against the Rotten Molten, or the Rotten Molting Molten, the teacher that shut down our anime club. Now, it wouldn't be such a scathing thing if she had merely said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that for such and such logical reason. But she led us all around that mulberry bush for 3 months before she actually got around to looking at our club submission and reviewing it.
Yeah.
1 week, mind you, when we started this, it was like the middle of winter, and it was 1 week before the end of school before she got around to going and reviewing the club proposal and shooting it down. Why, you may wonder? Oh, because of the possible content of the anime and manga. And so a lot of the clubs and whatnot, you know, schools pre-screen the material that they show, but she wasn't about to go and spend an hour or two a week watching the anime to go and approve it or not. So then we point out, of course, well, they have a book club here, and they read all sorts of explicit graphic things in those, and she's like, oh, well, you see, that's different, because it's one person's individual choice. And I think to myself, what, if somebody doesn't like the anime, they're just going to sit through it and suffer? You know, so I put out the show in retaliation. But it's not just that, you know.
You know what else? I was just thinking about that.
What's that?
Like, all the coaches and stuff for the sports.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do they prepare?
Yeah.
How much time do the coaches for the DECA prepare spend? That hour and two is nothing.
Yeah, I know. Not only that, but it's not like she had to be the one to do it. She just had to give the approval or not. But that's not the only reason why I started the show. Back in the day, there was basically only two or three anime radio programs. One was the Longtoothed Anime Radio, still running to this day. Or something on like their bajillionth episode. Since we can, we'll just go ahead and check that out and give you a time frame reference. Apparently, they're on episode 634, which makes our 75 seem rather insignificant in comparison. But I like to think that we put a well-structured, put-together show that's entertaining. Anime radio is good. If you like going and listening to people basically going and joking around and kidding with each other for about an hour that's only loosely based on anime.
Yeah.
But we try to keep our noses down and focused on our content. And, of course, this week's content is us reminiscing on the looking back at ASO Radio's years. Okay, so we went and we put together, I'd say almost every week for a year, we put out new episodes of ASO Radio.
Sometimes at the beginning there were 3 a week.
Yes, well, at the beginning the shows generally only lasted for like 15 minutes. The first show actually only lasted 9 minutes, if you can believe that.
3 a week. And now we're lucky to get one.
Yes, but think of it this way. In the beginning, it was 3 a week. So that's 45 minutes total per that week. These days, an hour and a half isn't uncommon for us. So, see, they're getting twice as much.
I wonder how many, the people probably about the 45 minutes are like, oh, I'm sick of these guys. And they turn us off anyway.
Maybe you're right. Maybe we should have shorter episodes. You think that if people listen to the show, if we had a section that they could write into and let their opinions be known, they should do that. Like a fan mail section.
That's something we should do.
We should implement that, you know. And that way if people wanted our episodes to stay long or be shorter, heaven forbid be longer, we could accommodate that.
Wait a second. Don't we have that already?
I guess so.
How surprising.
Yes. In surprising.
Well, I was going to say interesting, but
it just kind of melded the edit.
Yeah.
Alright, so there was anime radio, otaku radio, which is kind of like, basically it's kind of the same as anime radio, or at least it was back then. And then there was anime in the Limelight, which is a very good show. Unfortunately, in very hard financial times right now, of course, paying a $300 license to ASCAP every year to go and play anime music for, you know, 1 hour per week, does that to you. So, you know, our best wishes out to them. So anyways, that was all there was. One music program, two talk programs, and NZ, he tried to listen to the talk programs, but he no make it through. For you see, he thought to himself, these talk programs, these anime talk radio programs, have potential, but they're just going and goofing around for an hour and not focusing. Not putting their best foot forward and putting it on the content. Now, I'm probably going about it the wrong way and putting out, you know, sparse episodes that are focused instead of reliably putting out an episode every week. Could you imagine the power back then when I did do that? Amazing, wasn't it, DB3?
We had a ton of listeners back then.
Yes, we did. Tell them, DB3, if you will, about your experiences as a listener before you became co-host, because our new fans may not realize, but DB3 was actually never originally a co-host. But he fell into that responsibility once T-Man left the show.
Once T-Man and Z-Guy left the show.
Don't downplay yourself, kid. Now tell him what it was like listening to us back in the day.
Well, it was funny because I'd listen to the show and then I'd go to school and talk about it with them.
Good times, that.
Yeah, and then, or they'd come home from talking about the show and the anime they watched and I'd be like,
laughing at the jokes we made.
And I didn't even understand a lot of them. Just like, yeah, it's funny. Waiting for the show.
Don't tell me why.
Waiting for the show so I could find out why it was funny. And then things would click. Oh, that is funny. So I remember those.
So it's almost like you got, you know, like you were experienced time backwards.
Yeah.
You know, you see the after, then you see the before.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of funny. Yeah, that T-Man, we were like Laurel and Hardy, man. Always bouncing jokes off of us. And when we weren't expecting it, by Z-Guy, you know. He'd just suddenly come out of the ballpark where T-Man and I are yapping back and forth, and he'd say something completely out of left field, bowl us over. Those are good times. You'd almost think that's why we put forth a concentrated effort to try and get him on the show every week.
Yeah.
You almost think we should go and violate Z-Guy's privacy and give his email address out on the show. Now, I'd say it's hotdog@yahoo.com, but that would be unkosher, and it would also be incorrect, because that's not his email address. However, that is the email address I put down on every registration form that I fill out. So if you are the owner of the email address, hotdog@yahoo.com, I apologize for all the unsolicited mail, but I didn't want it, so, you know, I had to give him some email address. should have just given it as gatesb@microsoft.com, but, you know. Okay, so we went and we did that for quite a while. And then NZ got sad because T-Man left the show. And why did he leave DB3? School. Some cheap hussy. Oh, wait, that's right, education. Same thing, really, except... No, wait, they both cost a lot of money.
Before he left, there was a visitor for one episode.
You talking about Kiko Sick?
Yeah.
You're also forgetting about the one-shot time where we had a guy named Chris on the show. He was such an ass. Didn't fit in with the formula at all. He tried to be one of those extreme radio dudes. Didn't work.
I forgot all about him.
Yeah, very forgettable.
Yeah.
But yes, we had Kiko Six, and let's not forget Tetsuya. My horrible personality thing. But yes, Kiko Six, very special co-host. Wish her the best of luck in her military career. Because these days, she's actually piloting mechas and lasers and whatnot, you know, living out her wildest anime fantasies. Her wildest yaoi anime... Oh, wait, no, never mind. And of course... We can't do a flashback show without mentioning the audience.
The audience.
Because, of course, we have our listening audience, who we always enjoy having a guest listening into our show.
Mm-hmm.
We also had our live studio audience.
Poor live studio audience.
Hmm.
She fell off a cliff and...
Well, disappeared?
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody was ever found.
No. I don't think they ever found the bottom of that pit.
Mm, probably because they didn't check her parents' house.
Yeah.
Mm. So, long, complicated story with the audience. She probably won't be on the show anytime soon, but the last communique I had from her said that she would definitely enjoy being on the show once again.
Did she?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, she did. I would actually read the email on air, but I think we've been doing enough of that sort of thing this episode. So we went, we did a whole bunch of episodes, had a couple of special guests, a couple of times when it was just NZ by himself doing the show, because other guys are busy with this or that, but generally they were pretty good at making it every episode. And
or at least always getting at least one of them.
Yeah, yeah. And so then, T-Man went off to college.
Poor guy.
And I can't remember, but did you do any shows with both me and Z-Guy?
Not at this time.
Ah. So, then Z-Guy went off on his mission for his church.
No, he went to college out in Orem.
What, he did?
For a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
But he was still on a show or two after that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that really sucked. And of course, there was our dark period, which I think was like season 3 or whatnot, where I spent a summer out in California. Those were some boring episodes. And then I came back, did some episodes with Z-Guy, but then he went off on his mission. And so then I brought DB3 on board. And what was the first episode you were on?
I don't know, somewhere...
Wasn't it early 40s?
Yeah, I was thinking about 41, 42.
And so we had DB3 on the show for quite a while. And then after a time...
The saddest thing ever happened.
The saddest thing ever? I think somebody's forgetting the genocide of World War II.
No, this is my status.
If you make hate mail happen. Okay. So, we'd done all the shows up to this point, and I had just gotten burnt out. Z-Guy and T-Man were gone, so that whole dynamic fell apart. And we all know how much ass Z-Guy... DB3 doesn't suck any ass. What I meant to say, kicks. How much ass DB3 kicks. So...
Wait a second.
Okay, in essence, I was burnt out on doing the show. And so we went into the hibernation period, did a special episode 50, where masks were unmasked and identities revealed and pornographic pictures weren't involved. But it was a bittersweet show.
It was.
Because it was lots of fun, did lots of stuff, and...
How do you know
then
fire?
We went into hibernation. So then I went off to college, and DB3 went on his own mission. And, boy, this is just really a rehash of episode 53. and so I tried to do an episode or two from California. And those really, really sucked to Washington or somewhere I did them from, and I was suffering from dementia due to lack of proper nutrients. All I was eating was Top Ramen, and trust me, Top Ramen sucks ass when you can't go and afford anything but the little saver packets that come with those, and those are so loaded with salt, it will go and give you heartburn. I'm serious. But then we started anew, afresh, with episode 53. Tell us, DB3, tell us of how that came to be.
53. Oh, I remember 53.
Sure sounds like you did.
I'm not going to talk now. I'm sick of this here. I think I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Quit your lies and try to recollect what happened, why we started doing the show again and all that.
Well, we saw how much they all sucked again. And Angie's like, hey, DBC, I got new equipment. Just hang out, watch some anime. Maybe we'll throw a show together.
I was listening. My exact quote was not, hey, check out my new equipment.
Yes, it was.
Hentai. Natural anime enhancement for men. Okay. More or less, I'm going to take the reins if you don't mind here, DB3.
Fine, if you don't like my improv-y.
DB3, your improv-ing is as good as it's ever been.
I hate you, man.
I know, but the fans love it. Okay, so basically, we had one very dedicated, long-listening fan who kept saying, hey, you said ASO Radio was going to come out of hibernation. When will it happen? Really like your shows. And the name of that fan, Anthony Max Hernandez. No, wait, no. He wouldn't have been that short and to the point. That fan was Zongulus, a.k.a. Warp Shadow, a.k.a. the maintainer of our present-day Anime Fanatic, which, I should mention, has over 300 reviews of over 300 different anime.
Yay. Props to Zangulus.
That's a lot of work.
Props to Warp Shadow.
And he kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. And as they say, persistence pays off. Because eventually I was like, you know what? I missed doing that show. But there wasn't much I could do. Because at that time, DB3 and Z-Guy were still in a little place called Not in USA.
I was in Florida.
Florida, please. Kidding. They were both still on their missions, but shortly thereafter, within a 4-month period, they both returned after 2 years of being gone, which I bet they picked up a lot of exotic tail of animals.
Yes.
And I meant animal tails, not, you know, naughty.
Yeah. Well, let's go on. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Bestiality.
Oh, man.
But, so, they came back, so I had my co-host back, so I could do the show again. Or so I thought, because Z-Guy came back first. And, as we all know, Z-Guy, not so good at going and balancing his time, really.
Yeah.
And so, that didn't work all that well.
No.
But then, I read Slashdot, and that's a really great website. Shortly thereafter, though, DB3 came back, and we started doing episodes again. And it's been quite a fun, wild ride.
It has. We even had T-Man777 visit on one of those episodes.
Did we do a special episode with him?
We did.
When he came back? That was great.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Kind of funny, because we were, out of the thing, and then we tried to get back in, and so it was awkward in a way. Then he was gone, so it's not like we got a second chance. As a matter of fact, we barely got that put together by the skin of our teeth because he had to get going. Graduate school. So, we've had the audience. And of course, we can't forget our great fans who've sent in fan mail and fan art over the years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fans, fan mail goes together.
Yeah.
Like peanut butter and turnips.
Everyone knows those peanut butter.
Well, you know, turnips don't have much taste to them, so you got to do something to spice them up.
Yeah. I usually put them with beets or something.
Oh, well, that spices up anything.
Yeah.
Boy, those are bland vegetables. But you know, nothing says tasty food like a Vegeta. I'm sorry, I mean a Vegeta. And where do you store your Vegetas? In the freezer.
Oh man, that was bad.
I know, my jokes are brief, but they really get you in the trunks.
Oh boy.
Hey man, at least I'm not flashing the mic chi-chi.
I think this is Goku-ing far enough.
Hey, don't po-po all over my adventures.
Man, I'm gonna have to pickle all over you.
Hey man, don't go pulling out the instruments on me, or I'm gonna go and get the violin-toting sailor Uranus all over Uranus.
Okay, you win.
Well, that wasn't very long-lasting, but I enjoyed it.
It's because you're the master and you'll always win.
No. Says he until he goes and overtakes the show. I smell a bloody coup. Alright, well, I really can't think of anything else to share on this episode. No. Of course, mad props has to go out for our very understanding, very friendly, and always willing to participate, mascot Bandy.
Thanks, Bandy.
Very nice girl. Very nice girl. Hope one day she finds a nice guy, settles down.
We should mention we got a mascot during our reminiscence.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
How about you tell that story? So, go ahead, DV3. I know you've been dying to tell the backstory of how we got Bandy to be our mascot.
So once, I was like, hey, NZ, T-Man, Z-Guy, you know what your show could really use? Could
you know, I'm getting really tired of these fictitious stories.
What's wrong with them?
They're not true. That's what's wrong with them.
What about my letter? You liked the letter.
The letter was hilarious because you were here while we read the letter.
Oh. What about T-Man's letter?
My personal favorite was Z-Guy's reason for not being here, and he tried to use the same story as T-Man. Okay, basically, Sussmart by Charles Park, very talented artist, too busy to maintain his website these days. I asked him, hey, can we use it for the mascot? He was like, sure. And so then we acquire our mascot, Bandy, which has been a time-tested mascot.
What episode is that? Here we got her.
We'll just say episode 15.
Okay.
For some reason, that episode sticks out as, for some reason, it was a very memorable episode. Wish we had that archived. Yeah. Don't know if we do. So, anything you'd like to share about your experience and years of Acer Radio? Because you know, DB3, this year, 4th anniversary of Acer, no, 6th anniversary of Acer Radio. As a matter of fact, let me take a look at my magical, mystical calendar, and perhaps we'll put up a special episode on August 13th, 2005, to celebrate 6 years of Acer Radio.
Wow. 6 years.
6 years. That's a long time. Granted, a couple of those years was hibernation, but still, a lot of time and a lot of work.
That's true. That's probably the thing, like, people don't realize how much work we actually do to put in these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, just look at how much work we had to do to record all those stinking commercials.
That was stressful on my part.
And now a word from our sponsors. Would you like to go and have your ad on Ace of Radio? It's really easy, and you'll be reaching our thousands of listeners that we get every year. Ace of Radio's prime demographic are age 15 and older and include a large female and male audience. So if you're trying to reach people that love video games, love anime, and are on the bleeding edge of this information technology highway we like to call the Internet, then be sure to place your ad with us. Be sure to check out our thorough information on all of our listeners. Wait, that almost sounds like I'm spying on everybody. Oh my goodness. What I meant to say was be sure to visit www.nz17.com/ASO Radio/advert to get all the information on how you can advertise on ASO Radio today. Well, you know, you really got to love those ASO Radio guys. They don't know when to shut the hell up. But all good things must come to an end. And
that's
even this show,
going.
Even this show, which isn't a good thing, comes to an end.
Oh,
I don't know. I think the show's a good thing. I mean, really, what would people do with their bandwidth if not for us?
That's true.
They would commit suicide with 7 polar bears and a big-ass bottle of sake.
You know what they might do? They might go outside, exercise, do something crazy like
help the environment.
So what you're saying is by doing these episodes of ASO Radio, we're contributing to the downfall of thousands of people's health and simultaneously the environment of which we all live.
No, that can't be right.
Well, hey, at least we're better than China. And with that in mind, we shall wrap up episode 75 of ASO Radio. So at the beginning we say, Nihao Rama! And at the end of this episode, this is NV17
and DB3
saying, Sayonara for ASO Radio!